So if people want to find out more about you guys, it's on Twitter, Garage Project.
So unfortunately, it's Garage _
Yeah,
Project.
Yeah, I feel your pain.
Has someone else got their
hand? Yeah, Phil _ Cook.
And they're not really doing anything with it.
Phil Cook with no _, that's just a spam bot. It's a couple of posts from last September telling you how they want an iPad 2. No, an iPad. It must have just been a regular iPad.
But then garageproject.co.nz website.
Yes.
And we're trying to be pretty good about updating that and really sharing what we're doing as well. Like, we're trying to be quite transparent about
the tag cloud the other day. You know, that was really cool.
That's Joss.
Yeah, with the
and all the photos are Joss too. I mean, that, you know, we don't get a professional photographer. Yeah. It's,
why would you bother?
Joss is great. if this all goes pear shaped, he can pursue that career.
Yeah, no, the Word Cloud was fun. It's just I literally had that idea on the spot. We are getting all these coasters in, and to anyone who's listening, we are taking every single word and putting it in a spreadsheet. Capturing.
We don't just shred them. that rumor that the black box is just a shredder, that's not true.
I promise you they're not being used as mulch.
So I just literally copied all of the text and just dumped it in. I just Googled Word Cloud. First site came up.
Found some handy thing.
Dumped it in.
Yeah. It's very good. And
it just puts up in order of...
The bigger and smaller words. And there are some fairly big words which are not complimentary. But that's what you're going to get. That's a good sign of honest feedback.
Yes.
Because that's a real danger, because you guys were, I think, like with Parrot Dog, but very different operations. You know, and when it hit the ground, there was a lot of buzz and a lot of excitement. So there's the danger of the instant fanboy following.
We've got a little, it's almost become a little in-joke amongst ourselves now, but every now and then we'll say to ourselves, don't believe the hype. We're thinking of getting T-shirts printed up. Garage Project. Don't believe the hype.
Brilliant.
So yeah, no, we're pretty conscious of that, you know.
Yeah. Because that definitely does happen. Like I've had some beer that has the fanboy following, and something's terrible or it's changed in a bad way, and just no one says anything because there's that weird, pretend the negatives don't exist type.
Yeah. So this beer we're drinking, the third one.
Lost Abbey Judgment Day Ale.
Lost Abbey's Judgment Day Ale, which is an Abbey quad style beer with raisins.
You're slowly cranking up the percentage here.
And a chewy milk finish.
10.5 for this one, by the way.
I was very fortunate to go visit a few breweries in San Diego a couple of weeks ago, and Lost Abbey was the highlight, absolutely, for me.
Yeah, I've only heard good things.
And this is beautiful.
It is.
This is my favourite one. I tasted it.
Brewed with raisins. I should have a 8-wide Sultan after this. That's what I was going to say, was like 8-wide, Soren just won me the brewery award without ever having a brewery.
Yes.
It's just quite an achievement.
But then he's fantastic, you know. I mean, his range of beers almost stopped me coming to New Zealand, because I arrived here and I had in my mind a mental kind of, portfolio of beers that I'd like to make. And I walked into a bottle store and sort of looked on the shelf, and it's like somebody had just gone through my little repertoire and ticked them all. Yeah. I was like, oh.
What I've noticed.
But he's fantastic. He's a lovely guy.
This is delicious, by the way.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I had...
it's like the sneak peek I had, where you can taste the fruit, but it's not overwhelming. Both cases, we're talking about a fruit that I don't actually like. But
that's a lot of fruit
buried in the beer.
I had a number of bottles from other breweries I've visited, and I ended up basically drinking most of them in the States just to fit more Lost Abbey.
It's a dirty job, but someone's got
to
do
it. You should write to them and tell them that. I didn't drink a lot of your beer in the States because I was hoarding it to bring home.
It's like, Stone, sorry, love you, I'm just going to drink this. It got so bad, actually, that because I literally had a dozen Lost Abbeys in my suitcase. And I was trying to fit this extra Stone bottle, and I just couldn't.
So you stood in the queue at the airport.
Pretty much. I didn't stand. I slunk down the corner of the check-in area in Terminal 2, LAX, and with a friend, we popped the top and poured it into like Coke cups or something.
Yeah,
had
brilliant.
Drunk. Some arrogant bastard.
Have you seen, there's a Twitter account, possibly a website as well, called Beer Glasphemy, or Glasphemy, I suppose, mm-hmm. depending on your pronunciation, getting back to the garage garage thing. And it's just photos of beer in inappropriate glassware.
Yeah. Oh, that's
it's brilliant. So, you know, someone with a, you know, some fabulous stout poured into an Erdinger glass because it's all they had clean. I'm just going, I feel so terrible about it.
Well, we're doing this a little drinking.
Yeah, you got that. Yeah, straight pint. Excited. Yeah. Yeah. I've got a classic pint glass here, yeah.
We're just closing in on the hour.
Are we?
Yeah. And I know we're having fun. We can post it. The other end
we can
listening.
Post it in part.
Should we move on to mid-strength news?
Mid-strength news?
Come on, you've got to have some mid-strength news.
I have missed, well, the previous episode, the one that hasn't actually gone out yet, but it's in the bag, was on mid-strength beer. And I unaccountably forgot to mention Liberty Brewing's Taranaki Session beer, mm-hmm. which I just drank again just the other day because Hishigo had another keg of it. It was delicious. It's a Minimacy type pale golden hoppy pale ale, definitely, but 3.8.
Mm.
Brilliant. Because you guys did Session IPA, which turned out slightly...
No, we didn't write that. Somebody else wrote that.
Someone else wrote that.
So the story was that Happy Days will eventually
come down to Session.
Come down. But we'd actually done that one quietly for ourselves.
And that,
at a higher alcohol.
You know, and that was actually an interesting little experience. Yeah.
Right. Somebody at Hashi just popped on the label that it was a Session IPA.
So just from someone saying that it was a Session beer, writing that on the label, it's only one review, but someone wrote back Session beer at 5.5%, take 2% off, 1 star.
And, angry. That
negative
review
made them angry.
Well, that showed, yeah, because that's they've assumed that you've positioned it as a Session beer and failed.
But, you know, I don't know how much weight I would have thought the little... Right on the tap badge has, but apparently...
Among that crowd,
quite
a lot.
Yeah, definitely seems that way.
And then I'm not sure if I mentioned it last time, but I got to try PKB, you know, Yeastie Boys PKB, they do the remix every year, and this year it's PKB Wemix, because they've scaled it down to, again, I think 3.8. It seems to be the sweet spot that people hit, because if you go 3.9, you just seem like you're cheating. But if you go anywhere less than that, then you really do have to start compromising on flavour. So.
And how's it compared to the others? So the previous...
It was in the middle of Birvana, so not entirely sure.
You got to start with it, or it just won't work.
I started... Oh, coughing fit. I knew it was going to happen at some point. I started with Emerson's Black Ops, which is 8%. Bitter as anything, stouty thing. And,
and ruined you for the rest of the day.
It was delicious.
It's interesting. I mean, you know, you've got the eight wired underwired, and there's a number of people trying to crack that.
It's,
you know,
it's becoming fashionable. I like it because the strength really did ratchet up over the last couple of years. Like IPA Challenger at Malthouse this year, you know, average strength I think was 8.5.
If you go to your average craft bar in the States, the alcohol levels they start at for their beers are just astronomical, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, they're all tasty, but I've got this website here of one of the bars I went to in San Diego, which is brilliant if you are in San Diego, Hamilton's Tavern. But this is their tap list as of now.
Jesus. They got 12, 6.3, 5.5, 14.5, 5.5, there we go, 3.5, 8, 6, 7, 9, 6, yeah.
It's all way up there.
Massive.
And then Guinness is 4.2.
Yeah. That's huge.
There's got to be a serving size kind of scaled back to compensate for that.
No,
it's all in 425 bottle glasses.
Yeah. No, it's not.
That's insane.
Yeah, you know, you get in there and you just have to do the right thing and drink as much fresh Pliny off the tap as you can.
Yeah.
Even though it is 8%.
Yeah.
It's tricky. You're trying to work out what you're going to come in on your first beer.
Yeah.
You want to come in on at 8.
It's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah. I think that's their drinking culture, though, is, you know, if you get a mixed drink, if you get, they all pour by eye, and because of the tipping culture, if you're not pouring strong drinks,
you're not going to tip,
so, you know, if you get...
Even their official...
You get a rum and coke or something,
measure
chim and tonic,
is considerably bigger than New Zealand
it's,
one.
You know, poisonous, how strong,
yeah.
Which is very different to, say, traditional English kind of drinking culture.
It's the opposite.
You get... Often get 3.2s, 3.8s.
Yeah.
And I mean, some of them stand up very well. I mean, what helps them is that they're not served super cold.
Yeah.
So they're a little bit warmer, not warm, obviously, but, you know, it allows the body to kind of lift a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, people still drink 100 of them, so it all works out the same in the end.
It totally